Hello once again, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another really good revision history podcast with me, Mr. Hutchison. And this is a brand new course. So we're focusing on the Medicine Through Time course, 1250 to present day. And this is the EdExcel course specifically. So if you are studying the EdExcel course, this will be directly relevant for you, this series. If not, of course, history is history. If you're studying one of the other exam boards version of Medicine Through Time, then the knowledge will be useful to you. Just bear in mind, of course, that if I give or offer any advice with regards to exam questions and things like that, then it may be slightly different, you know, the way that your questions are formatted. So please do check with your class teachers if that's the case, to ensure that you are preparing for the right questions. So this is Medicine Through Time, 1250 to present day, and this is the EdExcel course. So this first introductory podcast, I suppose, is all going to be about outlining the course, what it looks like, some of the sort of key areas you should be focusing on when it comes to your revision, and I am going to go through the EdExcel question styles as well. So I think this is important, folks, because you need to have that overview when you are studying a course, particularly a breadth course, which is what this one is. You really do need to know where the course is going and how it's getting there. So what's the destination? Okay, so you can focus on the sort of conceptual questions as you're being taught, as you're attending lessons, as you're reading through your revision, whatever it is. So you've got that sort of you've got the eye on the prize, you've got that constant focus in your minds, as it were. So with regards to the EdExcel course, then, we go from 1250 right up until present day, which is an interesting way that it's been chopped up, really. In 1250, of course, a lot of the beliefs and treatments were very much medieval and even ancient, when we think of some of the doctors who were still influencing the way that medicine was being practiced. And then, of course, right at the other end of the scale, we're thinking of modern day medicine and various techniques and modern sort of scientific medical practices and things like that. So we are looking at a breadth study. So it is the story, if you like, of how medical treatments and preventative measures have improved or changed, not necessarily even improved, but changed from 1250, so medieval times, right up to where we are now. And the way this course is broken up is into specific chunks of time or eras. So we start in 1250 and that goes up to about 1500. So we call that medieval era. And then the second chunk is from around 1500 to about 1800, which is sort of called the Renaissance. And then we go 1800 to around 1900. So we're thinking of, you know, the industrial period, and then 1900 to now. So sort of modern medicine. All right. So that's the way the eras are broken down. Now, the important thing to remember about this course being a breadth study is you really have to focus on the dates. So in the question, it's possible the question you'd be asked might refer to the medieval period or might refer to the industrial period or the Renaissance, in which case they're referring to the specific dates that I mentioned. So medieval being 1250 to 1500, etc., etc. The other thing to remember, it's more likely that actually they will have the dates within the question. So it will probably say circa, little c for circa, 1250 to 1500. And that just means the medieval period. So you have to know that. You have to know which dates relate to which era so that you are selecting the correct history when you are answering those questions. That's really, really important, because of course if you get a question on circa 1500 to circa 1800, sort of Renaissance period, and you're talking about medieval medicine, then you're not picking up any marks. And that would be absolutely devastating. And I see that all the time from my students. You know, students that work really, really hard, they know loads, but they just either misread the question or they get slightly confused about the era they're answering and just like that, that they're losing marks when otherwise they would be doing really well. So just be really, really careful. The other way that the eras can be referred to is in terms of the century. So the questions might ask you about 19th century medicine, 20th century medicine, 13th century medicine. So you have to know what that means. 19th century, of course, refers to the 1800s. 20th century refers to the 1900s, etc., etc. So be really, really careful, folks. All right, this is a breadth study. You're covering a large period of time. We're looking at general changes over that period of time. And because we're dealing with multiple eras, multiple centuries, as a sort of single study, you really have to understand the order in which events and happen, and the events in which characters that pop into our study were practicing. You know, the order in which they come, which eras they fit into, which decades they fit into, which centuries they fit into, etc., and which circas they fit into. All right, so that would be the first thing that I would recommend there, that you bear in mind. Now, for each of those eras, medieval, Renaissance, industrial, modern, you should be considering similar things. So for each of the different eras, you need to know what people believed was the cause of medicine, because that changes over time, folks. So in medieval times, of course, the focus very much on religion and, God being the cause of illness as a punishment. And then, of course, by the modern period, that's very much changed. Okay, that's very much changed. So what did people believe was the cause of medicine? Okay, and then, of course, linked to that, what were the treatments that were being used? So for each era, you need to know beliefs and you need to know treatments. Now, they can cross over when we start looking at doctors like Hippocrates and Galen and the four humours. The four humours crosses over into beliefs and treatments. But there is a significant difference, of course. So just be aware of that. It's very, very important. If you're asked about beliefs, you need to be talking about beliefs. And you're asked about treatments, you need to be talking about treatments. I know that sounds obvious, but please do bear that in mind. Now, beyond that, particularly as the course goes on, you also need to consider other things as well. So not just beliefs and treatments, but also preventative measures. And when we start getting into the industrial period, preventative measures and government intervention, particularly with regards to public health. Okay, so later on in our period, governments start to realize that they need to intervene in order to prevent people from getting ill. And actually, that is a far more effective way of keeping people healthy than letting them get ill and then treating them afterwards. And again, I know that sounds obvious if we're looking at it with our modern interpretation, our modern eyes, but actually that was quite a big deal. The first Public Health Act, etc., etc. So beliefs, treatments, government intervention and preventive measures, including public health. That, of course, only really becomes relevant from the industrial period onwards. And, that's a response to urbanisation, people moving into cities. You will be studying Victorian London and the horrific conditions and illnesses associated with that period and that place and time. And, the response to that is more government intervention. Also a changing political climate as well. And, the working class is becoming more enfranchised, which means they can vote. And, of course, when the working classes have a say in who's governing them, the people who are standing up to be elected need to actually start looking out for the working classes, and a big part of that was public health. So beliefs, treatments, preventative measures / government intervention. Now also as a sort of separate thing, we look at surgery as well. Now surgery does change throughout the period, but doesn't change much. Not really, not as far as we're concerned at GCSE, between medieval times and, it starts to change in the 19th century. So we don't look at surgery much until later on in the course, because we look at how it was before. And that's, very similar all the way through medieval Renaissance, right up to the 1800s. And then we look at the changes there with regards to antiseptic surgery and aseptic surgery, etc., etc., moving on to modern era. So beliefs, treatment, government intervention, and indeed surgery as well. Okay, so they are the things you need to bear in mind as you move through the course. So for each era, what was surgery like? For each era, what do people believe was the cause? For each era, what were people, how were people being treated? Okay, for each era, was there any sort of government intervention? Were there any preventative measures in place in terms of public health and things like that? Okay, and as well, you know, how effective were these things? Did they work? You know, did they improve people's lives, etc., etc.? Okay, so that is the main focus you should have as you go through the course. Now, moving on to the exam element. So if you're studying for the EdExcel paper, these are the questions that you're going to be facing. So for EdExcel, medicine times actually split into two halves. So the first part, which I've been talking about, which is the Brett study, and the second part, which is a specific case study on the world, on World War One environment, its course. So we sort of zoom in on the Western Front during the First World War and look at the medical practices that were taking place in that specific place and time. So, you know, overall, was the war responsible for improving, or, you know, the progress of medicine, or did it lead to regression and things going backwards, or getting worse? And for that part of the course, you also start tackling your third assessment objective, which is the interpretation of sources. So in your exam, your medicine exam, which is paper one, the first half of it, you will actually get questions on, so you'll get a source in the exam. So a source is anything from the period, any piece of evidence. So it might be a letter from a nurse from a casualty clearing station, or it might be a diary of a soldier on the Western Front, or it could be some statistics that were printed in a newspaper. Who knows? Pictures, you know, artists' impressions. It really could be anything, guys. Now, you have to react to whatever that is. And for part of the exam, you have to think about usefulness, reliability, and then sort of bolt your knowledge on to justify that. All right. Now, that is almost a separate skill, hence why it's a different assessment objective. And your teachers will help you prepare for that specifically. Whole new set of skills and a whole new way of tackling those questions. So for the World War One environment, you get three questions. The first one is just a four mark knowledge based question. Describe two features of gas attacks. Describe two features of conditions of the trenches. Describe two features of wounds that were sustained on the Western Front. Okay, so purely knowledge based, purely World War One medicine based. Then your second question is an 8 mark, and that is where you will be interrogating the source. So you'll have two pictures, or you'll have, as I say, a diary and a picture, and you'll have to write about usefulness, how valuable they are, whether reliable, and use your knowledge in order to justify what you're writing there. And then you have a 4 mark question, which is an interesting one. How would you follow up this source? And that, you know, basically they're demonstrating to the examiners that if you went on to become a historian, do you have an idea of what other sources are out there? And when you have a source in front of you, if you're trying to learn more about a period of history, where would you go? What other sources might you use in order to enhance your knowledge based upon that original source? Sounds quite complicated. I probably haven't explained that brilliantly, so don't worry about that for now. Obviously, in a later podcast, I will go through that, and I'm sure your class teachers will take you through that. There's a very specific way to answer those questions. You get sentence starters for that one as well in the exam, so it's a little bit different, but nothing to worry about too much. Only 4 marks, still 4 marks, right? You want to get it right if you can, but nothing to stress too much about, folks. Nothing to stress too much about. So that's the World War One. Now, going back to medicine, your 1250 to your present day, your different eras, beliefs, treatments, government preventive measures, etc., etc. Again, you get three questions here. So your first one is a 4-mark comparison question. So you'll be given two eras. So it will ask you to compare beliefs in 1250 to 1500 compared to the 1800s. Or it'll ask you about treatments in the Renaissance compared to treatments in modern medicine. Okay, so that question, 4 marks, fairly straightforward, provided A, you've got the knowledge, and B, you've read the question carefully, because you have to use evidence or history from within the dates that are there. Okay, that stands to reason. But you've also got to really look for those key command words, because if it's asking you about beliefs and you start comparing treatments, even if you know, your knowledge is sound and you're keeping within the correct dates, if you're talking about treatments and not beliefs, you're costing yourself marks there. So that one is something you really need to watch out for. Then we move on to an extended writing question, your 12-mark explain question. And this is the same style of question that you will face on part of paper 2 and also again paper 3. Okay, so it's the same explain question, that 12 marks, no choice there. Whatever it asks you about, you just have to tackle. And then at the very end, you've got the big question. It's 16 marks, but it's actually 20 marks because you get 4 for spelling, punctuation and grammar. But 16 marks, so extended writing again. And this is a how far question. And here, again, you will have 2 bullet points. You have to write about 3 pieces of history. So you can either use those 2 bullet points and add an additional one on, or you can ignore them all completely and use relevant history off the top of your head. That's absolutely fine, provided it is relevant. And by bullet points, I mean you get hints, basically. Okay, so you'll be given like the name of two influential characters, or you'll be given an example of something to use, and that's just there to help you and to jog your memory, really. But you don't have to use them, but if you do, you have to absolutely make sure that you add an additional one in there. So 16 marker, how far, is asking your opinion. You have to answer the question directly, whether you agree or disagree in the first sentence, and then we say ideally 3 paragraphs, 1 for each bullet point, and then an additional one coming to a conclusion at the end. And for that 16 marker, you do get a choice of questions. So again, when it comes to your exam and you're facing that, you need to read through those carefully and make sure you make the right decision, the one that's going to give you the best chance for success. And that 16 marker again appears on your paper 2 exam. All right, so again, the questions, those 2 questions are not unique to medicine. Those 2 questions you will also face for different periods of history, but the style will be exactly the same on paper 2. And it's actually in some ways quite similar to your final big 20 mark question on paper 3 as well. Okay, so medicine through time, I think conceptually that means in terms of your ability to understand the history and how one thing affects another, how it's all linked together in terms of progression and regression, I think that the medicine through time course is reasonably straightforward if you engage with it and get your heads around what comes when and where. I think in terms of your ability to understand the relationships between the periods and how the characters, you know, they're what they do affects other eras and things like that, I think that you've got a real opportunity with the medicine through time course. You just need to get your knowledge sorted. If you know what happens and when and how one thing affects another, you will smash this exam out of the park, guys. I think you've got a real good opportunity here. In my experience, students tend to do best here, or paper 3 they do well as well, but they tend to do well on paper 1, generally speaking. So that's it from me. Just an introduction there to approaches to the course, the eras that are going to be tackled, and the types of questions you're going to face. Starting from the next podcast, I'm going to be zooming in and focusing on individual eras, treatments, beliefs, and that is how I'm going to break these podcasts up. So I'm going to be focusing on medieval period. I'm going to be focusing on beliefs and treatments. Okay, so you're going to hear these terms throughout the series of podcasts I'm going to be making. I'm going to move in chronological order as well. So as you go through these episodes, I'm going to obviously start with medieval and move off into Renaissance, moving, creeping up towards modern day, and then I'll do some World War One specific podcasts afterwards. So I hope you find you found that useful. I hope you find the next podcast useful, and you know, all the best, and as always, keep working hard. Bye bye.